Good morning, everybody. We're a minute early. Do you want to start early, Dewey? Shall we? Why don't we? Let's stand and give praise to God, shall we? To our church today, to bless us and anoint us. Let's call out to God to come, be part of our worship today, to bless the Vines Church. Lord Jesus, come. We ask in your precious name. Amen. Please be seated, everybody. Trevor's going to bring our call to worship in a special way.
Good morning, everybody. So the Father, our Creator God, has called you here this morning. Jesus, the Shepherd of our hearts, Redeemer of the world, has called you here this morning. The Holy Spirit, who provides grace and gifts, has called you here this morning. And what's our response? Our response is to kneel down and worship our amazing God, for he is our God who gives us every good thing. And we can hold our hearts out to him because we come in faith, standing upon his word. For God, we can put our trust in him.
Father, Father in heaven, Sustainer, Creator, Lord. For you are pure and holy. We come before your throne. Shepherd, Shepherd of my heart. Redeemer, gracious Jesus, precious Savior, Your love has no end. For you are God, you give every good thing. We hold our hearts out to you. We come in faith as we stand upon your word. Oh God, we put our trust in you.
There's any doubt that COVID-19 has changed our lives, and although we are very fortunate in South Australia, it still can get us down in many ways. I feel we just need to pray as a church, as a whole, that we will be united and that we'll be united in our vision as well. Together in love for God, together in love for each other, together in faith. Just how God wants it to be. Can we do that? Can we just have open prayer, praying for our church? Let us pray. Let's pray for our church, people.
Father, when this church was built, it was built in a spirit of innovation to actually think a church could be on the same site as a nursing home. Father God, that was revolutionary when this church was built. And Father God, that innovative spirit is still amongst us. Father God, help us to be brave and bold and to know that you are with us. We know that you're with us, but I know for me, sometimes I just need to be just assured again that you know what you're doing, that you're in control, but you, Father God, you are in control. Father, thank you for this planting in Woodcroft, this suburb with lots of kids and lots of babies and all sorts of bits and pieces. This is a suburb of hope and a suburb of new life. And may we be a beacon of light into this suburb, we pray.
Thank you, Jesus. We indeed all together pray for the vision of our church. And as your word says, Lord, if two of us agree here on earth concerning anything we ask for our vision, our Father in heaven will do it for us. What a beautiful scripture that is. We hold true and trust in God because he is worthy. Please remain seated as we sing, Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you.
you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hand. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Please stand, everybody.
Morning, everybody. As we continue in our time of worship today, gratitude is one of those things that is foundational to our experience of worship. I'm going to invite you to share with me the first four verses of our psalm, and then we'll pause and reflect on what those words mean for us. Again, if you'd like to respond in the red, let's share this together.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens.
Your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains.
Your judgments are like the great deep.
You save humans and animals alike, O Lord.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God.
If we just go back to that previous slide, I want you to pause for a minute. What is one thing that you, as you look at those words, stands out for you? What is the one thing you're grateful for this morning? Let us just pause and reflect on that, our gratefulness. As we share the next slide, all people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
They feast upon the abundance of your house.
And you give them drink from the river of your delights.
For with you is the fountain of life.
Let's pause there again. What is the one word or image that strikes you about this great love that God gives to us? Our next slide. In your light, we see light.
A continual steadfast love to those who know you.
And your salvation to the upright of heart.
Do not let the foot of the arrogant tread on me.
Or the hand of the wicked drive me away. So this great love that God gives us is tested. What is it that you reflect on in this slide? What is it you connect with? Lord Jesus, as we come to worship in gratitude, we know that your love is for all. That love is eternal. And often this love is challenged with the face of opposition. Lord, come to us now as we continue to offer our worship to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Benjamin.
Our reading today is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It is the farmer who does the work, who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things. This is the word of the Lord.
So we have time for the kids to talk, so if you want to come down the front, that'd be good. And have you noticed anything about the church being different this morning? Yes, it's a mirror image. May your left be right and your right be left. Or something like that. Hey, good to see you. I thought I would talk about food, and so I bought a great big shopping basket today. And I know you guys love lasagna. What's your favourite food, Sam? What did we say it was the other week? Favourite food? Ice cream, yes. Of course. Now look, I thought I'd, you know, ask you, how do we create things? I mean, where do we get this stuff from? I mean, what do you think, Sam? Shops, okay. Yeah, very nice. What are you?
Animals.
Yep.
Nature.
Nature, yeah. Well, I thought I'd give you a lesson of Dave's dodgy gardening. So, first of all, we need one of these, all right? Yep. Exhibit A. Now, people thought I was bringing my cereal in today, but actually, this is homegrown Dernicourt dirt. It's pretty bad dirt, actually. That maybe explains why I can never grow anything. Elaine just looks at a plant and a bit of dirt and it grows. Oh no, hang on. There's a bit of weed. Fantastic. All right, so what happens then? Got the pot plant, got the dirt. What do we need next, fellas? What? The seeds. The seeds, all right. I looked at my extensive array of seeds and I found some coriander. Not quite as nice as the, what were those things called again? The parsley, you know, the heads we did with all the shoot. That was sensational. Okay, so what do we do after that? We get something to make a hole in the ground, don't we? So this is the best thing I can do. Stick it in there. Elaine's beginning to understand why nothing grows in my house. Okay, we get some seeds and we tip them in, don't we? And that's right. And what do we do? Got a bit of water, so I imagine I've, yep.
Water them.
Water them, okay. So I imagine I've got some water. And I wait 5 minutes and I've got coriander. Well, I tell you, I'm a bit like you guys. I'm a bit impatient. So I've decided that I'm sick of waiting for plants. And I love baked beans particularly. So I thought today I'm just going to plant some baked beans. All right? And that's going to work. I'm not going to wait for this thing that means... Yeah, what?
That can't grow because they're not seeds. They have already been grown.
Well, I guess then I'm not going to be able to grow tuna then, am I? Damn it. All right. Well, so what am I... So if faith is like growing things, what are we learning? What happens with faith? Does it happen quickly? Can I stick it in the ground and it just grows?
You have to wait a long time for it to, like, grow.
Oh, so faith takes a while to grow, does it?
Yeah, you have to be patient.
Patient, man, patient. Jade, have you got anything for me? I'm just getting really wise now.
Faith is something that you can trust.
Faith is something you can trust. Okay, so, and that's a bit like farming, isn't it? The farmer trusts that putting the seed in the ground will grow. You guys are just too smart for me. Woo-hoo! I think you are going to give me a hand. We're going to do some welcomes to each other. And I think really what we're trying to remind each other with this faith is like a farmer is that, yeah, it does take patience. It grows. But as we trust, things happen. So that was a really wonderful effort. You guys, good job. Thank you. So the as you notice, you might have read in the grapevine this week, one of the things we're trying to stimulate your thinking is as a church, we want to grow stronger through this COVID season. And when you look at the rest of the world, which are going back down into lockdown again, one of the realities is we're going to live with this COVID thing for a long time, even though we are not physically experiencing it, because the rest of the world is just overwhelmed with it. We're going to live probably with social distancing for a long time. So the question is, how are we going to grow stronger as individuals, couples, as a church? It's really a good question, I think. And so it's, while we're not looking at a 5-year vision necessarily, we're just looking at this period of time. How do we grow stronger? How do you grow stronger through this period? So that when it does finish, instead of just falling over and collapsing, we actually have some momentum, some posture, some... So how do we do? What does grow stronger look like? And when we talk about stronger, what are we talking about? Is it our faith? Is it our relations and connection with each other? What does stronger look like? So that's something I want you to think about and I want you to wrestle with. And we want to have this as a conversation to the end of the year. So by Christmas, as we launch into 2021, we'll actually have some really clear ideas what stronger will look like. What's that sound like? Yep, good plan, yeah. It's like doing push-ups. By the end of the year, we'll be even better at it. Thanks, Leon.
Good morning, all.
G'day, Leon.
This morning, whilst we were sitting quietly before the service, up on the screen, three words appeared. Prayer changes things. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Today in our prayers for others, let us give thanks for our blessings. When I pause at the end of each phrase or when I give a deep breath, would you please respond with the words, Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we praise and thank you for all your blessings. Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you for our Vines Church family, our minister, David Pryor, the Leaders Council, and leaders and conveners of pastoral care, worship group, Sunday school, community outreach, administration, property, home help, small groups, and finance. Lord, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the upcoming Christmas market and those who are participating and planning this as well as those we wish to help and to serve. Lord, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for our leaders of Australia and world leaders at this time of world pandemic and ask for divine intervention. Lord, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those who are suffering from sickness, bereavement, unemployment, poverty, domestic violence. We ask your healing and blessing and sympathy. Lord, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for your worldwide church, its leaders, and also we pray for those who are working as chaplains in our schools. Bless them. Lord, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for our politicians, care workers, doctors, nurses, and others working at the front lines. Lord, hear our prayer. Would you all pause at this moment and silently pray for people and things on your heart? In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
As an introduction to the word today, the precious word of God, let us sing the best hymn I reckon is ever written, and that is How Great Thou Art. Please stand, everybody.
Birds sing sweetly in the tree.
Thanks, Bill and band. We've got some really talented people. That's over the last month. We've had three different songs written by people in this church that we've celebrated in worship. So that's a wonderful thing, a wonderful gift. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we think about faith as a farmer, we ask that you would grow something in us. Give us a real sense of new life and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Faith is like a farmer. How many farmers do we have amongst us? A few farmers. Howard must have been a farmer. Yes. And there's lots. Well, so farming is a wonderful thing. And as you already have figured out from my children's talk, I really don't come from any farming stock at all. I think what was really exciting is that, you know, for me, farming has often been about going to the store and picking up something from the store, not having to grow it. And as you know, so it's an interesting world we live in. They did many years ago a quiz where they asked kids where things came from, and they all just said supermarkets, because they'd never seen a farm or how it worked, how things were growing. Paul says, it's the farmer who does the work who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Now in Jesus' time, the soldier, athlete, and the farmer were very familiar. You know, the farmers were the hub and the basis of the whole society. I guess a bit like now, except farmers used to be so visible. In fact, the early Roman armies were made up of soldiers. So they'd farm, and then they'd go off to war, come back, and keep farming. And I guess at first glance, the farmer... In comparison to the athlete or the soldier, maybe their life seems a little boring. I mean, they don't have to get up on, you know, at first glance. Like I said, that first glance, I'm thinking the farmers in the audience are starting to give me some correction already. So, I mean, look, soldiers serve their country in the professions of arms, putting their lives on the line with controlled aggression. Athletes train long hours to compete in front of crowds, to win the laureate, often with, I guess, amongst disproving fans as well. But what is farming? The Jews believed that farming was an act of faith. And the Talmud, they would consider farming an act of faith. The farmer invests a great deal of effort and expertise and expense to plow the land and prepare it for sowing. Then they cast the grain into the soil where it will rot and decompose, believing that God will bring yield many times the quality of the investment. So for many, farming was literally faith, about faith. I mean, in the old days, could you imagine farming? No tractors, no pesticides, no fertilizers, everything done by hand. I mean, sometimes when you drive through the state, you see those great big mounds of rocks. People have farmed in their land and pulled it and gathered them so they can actually get the dirt. You know, often I've said faith like a farmer, man, that's a hard thing. And I've considered myself and thought, man, I don't think I'd have enough faith to be a farmer. How many times have we heard cherry farmers, fruit farmers, or even, you know, wheat farmers celebrate the pending abundance of crop, only to have, you know, a freak flood or frost or something come along and wipe out their crops. I mean, that would be heartbreaking, soul-destroying. And yet, there are farmers who have been on their one block of land or their lot of land for centuries, for generations. There's something very hardy about farmers. And I remember talking to a lieutenant a couple of years ago, and I said, "Oh, farming, you know, I don't have enough faith for farming." And he said, "Man, you don't need faith to farm." I mean, "What do you mean?" He says, "Oh, well, nowadays you use technology. You know, you get a GPS, you get it down to the satellite into the tractor, and it row upon row is exact. Then you look at the weather forecast, and you just know how much fertilizer you put in per ratio of seed. Then you times that by the wind and the rain and the, you know," he's just, and I'm looking at him thinking, if only farming was that simple. Have you heard about this thing called nature? Like, you know, the sun and the rain and the, it's just technology. I've always thought technology is great until we tried to live stream. So if you're watching today, hallelujah, it works. So it's, you know, it just makes me laugh. But anyway, I guess he was actually quite serious. He was really thinking that, you know, you don't need faith, it's just simple. Farming is simple. And anybody who's farmed will tell me that is not true. When things are going well, life is easy. Farming is easy. But sometimes when a drought happens, and throughout our Australian history, there have been many droughts. And Federation drought, there was, throughout our history, there have been some really difficult times. In fact, the 20s, like 2000 through to 2012, there has been a big drought. And even in some areas of Australia, a drought remained. So hardship is one of those things farmers are confronted with. So it's, I think farming is backbreaking stuff. It's dirty work, it's detailed work, it's long hours, it's having to work to try and generate these bountiful, beautiful crops. And when they finally get there, you've got this thing called weather. And there was lots of podcasts online and different posts from farmers. And there was one woman who has this farmer, Faith Like a Farmer. And she has a post where she said, you know, her husband had this, she talks to her husband often about faith. And when she was talking about to her husband about what faith is like as a farmer, she recalled the time they had this beautiful harvest ready to reap and a tornado came across and just wiped it away. And a hurricane. So this is in America. And all that waiting was for nothing. What was the point, she said? Good question. And I think the reason Paul was writing to Timothy and using the metaphor of a farmer is because it is really labor intensive. It is really hard to build crops. It is really difficult. No tractors, no pesticides, nothing easy. For farmers, like soldiers and athletes, it is about hardship. And, like one of the great classic lines we have in army is, no plan survives the first encounter with the enemy. So in other words, you have this great plan, and your first encounter, everything goes awry. Because, you know, Hannibal comes over the mountains with elephants. You know, like, it just no one expects, nothing goes to plan. Or if you're an athlete, you know, you're poor power, 150 years, you're planning to go to the grand final and bang. So look, you're an athlete, not everything goes to plan. And farmers, it rains when it's supposed to be hot, and it's hot when it's supposed to rain. It's just like, wow. So Paul has picked these three metaphors to remind Timothy and us that hardship is a part of the journey of faith. Hardship is a part of the journey of faith. Hardship is to be expected. It shouldn't be a surprise. Now, I'm not suggesting we're all pessimists and we go around, "Oh, that's right. I stubbed my toe. Of course I've stubbed my toe. I've reversed my car into the tree. Of course I reversed my car into..." It's not about being a pessimist. It's like hardship happens. It's a part of life. And when we have faith, we then have to apply faith to this hardship and make sense of how we understand God being with us. A part of that, seeing the big picture, is really an important part of the journey of faith. And I don't know about you, but on Friday we did a bit of a disaster planning, which I guess part of us seeing the big picture. So this year being such a mess, Army is great at projecting forward and doing planning. So next year we're planning what happens if next year's a big mess as well. And one of the images that they picked out was this picture of a gum tree. And it's in the Murray Plains. And on the gum tree were signs of all the different years and the different flood levels. Now, what does that say to you about the community that was living in that environment? How many people think that a flood would be a surprise for those people living in that community? How many people think that sometime they would expect a flood? Yeah. And so in many ways, the farmer is a bit like that. If they've been on the land for many years or generations, they can pinpoint the years of hardship, but they can also pinpoint the points where things have gone well. And many farmers, it's about hope. Hope gets them out. That sort of image of things growing, the sun shining, everything going well, that's the thing that gets them out of bed. Gets me out of bed. I don't get out of bed if I'm pessimistic and the world's a miserable place. So you can tell when I'm on top of things. If you don't see me one Sunday, you know it's just gone on top of me, all right? Or I'm on holidays, one of the two. But it's that sense of hope that gets us out. And I think Paul is really trying to give Timothy perspective, not to grind him in the dirt, but to say, hey, mate, hardship happens. Don't simply fall over the first time things happen. I mean, when you look back over your life, and the fact you're here would suggest you've learned some stuff from your history. If you had those plaques like that tree, you could probably nail them on your wall to highlight different points that have been hard or significant. And I think that history is one of those important things. That's why action reflection is so important. So when things happen in life, the reason we have to stop and reflect on them is because if we simply just ignore them, we don't learn anything from them. And it's really important to learn stuff from life, because otherwise it comes in repeat. If we do not learn stuff in life, it comes back. It's just, we get hit with the same stuff. There have been things in my life that I've been hit with a few times and thought, haven't I already learned from this? I've forgotten. What is it I'm supposed to remember again? And again, it's just keeping fresh, keeping... There are things I have learned in this life. What do I know them to be? What are those truths that are so important that I would tattoo them on my arm if I was into tattoos? You know what I mean. So that's really what Timothy is being invited to consider. Like the farmer who's been on the land for generations, what do they know? They know that things change. One hard year, two hard years, doesn't mean that's the end of the story, because there's, history would say, good is coming. And that's the important part to remember. Joy of farming. And I think that one little seed you plant, there's a really a wonder when it grows. Extra celebration for me to get anything to grow. But you know what I mean. And when we use the farmer metaphor, it just helps remind us. So, this year, as I've said, we're going to try and for the rest of the year, reflect on what growing stronger means. And just before we consider that more fully, so far we've had the five faith is like. Faith is like a seed. Trust of any size can move your mountains, was the first one. Faith is like a muscle. Needs resistance to grow. So the resistance of our life helps our muscle grow. Faith like a soldier is sharing in the suffering. That's with empathy and compassion, because we're all in this together. We all know what this feels like. Faith like an athlete is training and conditioning our body for when the hardship comes. And finally, faith like a farmer, big picture, provides a perspective of hope. That even in the harshest times, good is coming. And that's what hope is fundamentally about, isn't it? So, one of the interesting things about this year has been this: why am I doing this? Many people, in fact, all of us at some stage this year have thought, when we've been in lockdown and not had to do anything, the question is, why was I doing what I was doing? Why will I continue to do this? It's a really an important question. And it reflects on our personal lives, our connection with church, our interrelationships with each other. There are people who've made decisions about, well, actually, I'm not going to do this. Haven't had to do this for 6 months, and I've missed it, so I'm not going to keep doing it. For others, there's been a reinforcing of how significant and important it is. Why? Why am I doing it? So if you're finding yourself asking that why question, it's not surprising. We all have this year. It's just been a tough year. Next year, not sure how that's looking either. So that sense of why. Why are we following the restrictions? Why are we this? It's a question that you will find yourself asking. And that is normal. So as we confront that why question, we think about, well, how do we grow stronger? What does grow stronger look like? And is there a definition of stronger? Is it about healthier? Is it about wiser? Is it about more connected? So there, again, just a reference to some of the things we're looking at. But I'd like to finish on is invite you to think about, out of the three metaphors I've picked up from Paul in the last 3 weeks, what do you most connect with? Do you connect most with the soldier, shared suffering, athlete, conditioning, or the farmer about bigger picture and hope? What is one of those three images you connect with? There you go. I'll give you some think time. What is one of those three you connect with? Holy Spirit, thank you that you are with us. As we sing our last song and prepare to go from this place, stir that image within us this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
I'm so glad we can put our trust in God. I'm a bit of a farmer, actually, because I think to myself, I'm not sure if I've got enough faith to wait for the rain to come, all that, but the only option for me as a Christian is we need to trust in God. Please stand as we sing, How Great Is Our God.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God?
Our God.
sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
We put our hope in the Lord. He is our protector and our help. We're glad because of the Lord. We trust in the holy name. May your constant love be with us, Lord, as we put our hope in you. Now, the motto we've been running is phone a friend and choose life, because you can't get the virus over the phone, but you can pass on God's love. But I've adapted that slightly for our new motto. Connect with a friend and choose life, because to grow stronger through COVID, we have to pass on God's love. If you can think of a better one, let me know. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.